This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. If you have dreamed of owning a property in Israel, close to the sea or close to the center of Tel Aviv, now is your chance to make it a reality. The Blue Agency is happy to announce that they are in South Africa to discuss new property opportunities in Israel. For a private meeting with Barry Cohen to discuss your Israeli property or any Israeli property needs, WhatsApp him on 076-577-2000. That's 076-577-2000. The Blue Agency, your Israeli property is in good hands.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov. For those people who have visited Ben Gurion Airport, you'll know that we've got that very, very nice but somewhat strange situation where people who are departing and people who are arriving have a sort of a crossing over point. There's two ramps that go down in opposite directions, and you can see people departing and arriving on the opposite side. And those who've visited the airport in recent months will know that all along those ramps have been pictures of the hostages. Howard, you probably noticed that when you were recently in Israel. Every few meters, a picture of another hostage, and people took the chance while they were moving through the airport to write little notes on those pictures. Little messages were written, little trinkets were left next to the pictures of various ones. And of course, the pictures that were the busiest along those ramps were the pictures of the Bibas family. The Bibas boys had piles and piles of fluffy toys and all kinds of trinkets and little things put down next to the posters with their pictures on it, and of course Shiri as well. And slowly but surely, with the realization with those hostages who've been released, and of course in the case of the Bibas family, unfortunately with their bodies having been returned to Israel, the time came for those posters to come down. And I saw a heart-wrenching video that showed Yarden Bibas going to the airport and removing the posters of his family members and all the little trinkets and the fluffy toys and everything that people had left there while moving through the airport. And it's heartbreaking. It's really heartbreaking. A huge flag of Batman, because we know that Ariel was such a fan of Batman. And there's a picture of Yarden showing, holding up this Batman flag as he's picked it up from the pile of things that have been left next to their pictures. So people moving through the airport now will notice that their pictures have come down, and the piles and piles of things that have been left next to the pictures, and all the messages and the stickers and the outpouring of emotion has all been removed now from the airport, and Yarden was there to do that.
Wow, that is not for the faint of heart, that is for sure. More information has been released about the IDF successes from the first day of the return to military activity in Gaza. Yeah, all over our news and around the world, of course, we're seeing 400 people, many women and children, have been killed, according to the Gaza health authorities. But what really, what do we know about the real facts there? What happened?
Well, what we're being told is there were 10 minutes yesterday morning, in the early hours of the morning, that were absolutely critical in terms of striking on a surprise basis many Hamas terrorists, operatives who had already been rearming and preparing themselves for more action. And that was one of the things that had become clear to us over the past week or two, or maybe even longer, is that during this ceasefire period, Hamas was rearming and re-strengthening. And in fact, there were one or two strikes that were carried out even during the ceasefire, because apparently attacks against Israel or Israeli troops were imminent. And so they couldn't even wait until the return to military operation. They decided to carry out one or two targeted attacks, but there were clearly a number of different activities going on in the Gaza Strip to rearm and to re-prepare and to re-attack. And Israel had managed to collect up all of the intelligence about that and was ready yesterday morning at 10 past 2 in order to carry out these attacks. And we're told that even though something like 80 targets in Gaza were destroyed between 10 past 2 and 20 past 2 yesterday morning, in fact, about 50 of those 80 were actually hit between 10 past 2 and 12 minutes past 2. 2 minutes
Incredible.
Of attacks that were carried out, very, very decisive. What we also know amongst the misinformation and disinformation that we're being told about the number of innocent civilians and the women and children, what we do know is that there were quite a few senior and mid-level Hamas leaders who were killed in the process, including the acting prime minister of Gaza, including the spokesman for the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, including the Hamas terrorist who was responsible for the air missiles, the missiles that are being launched towards Israeli targets, the missile array. So a number of different senior and mid-level leaders were eliminated, in some cases along with members of their family, because they were caught surprised. They were unaware that this attack was coming. Many of them were at home asleep. The timing was aimed to be before people would be getting up in the morning in order to eat the meal before the day of fasting. And so that's why the hour of 10 past 2 was chosen, because that's before sunrise and before the hour that people would have been getting up in order to eat. And so there was massive amounts of intelligence and information and planning and accuracy that went into carrying out these attacks in order to really give Hamas a critical blow. Interestingly, some of the senior military commanders, we understand, for example, like Mohammed Sinwar, the brother of Yahya Sinwar, were not attacked. And one of the reasons that's been given for Mohammed Sinwar not having been targeted is because there is speculation that he may well have hostages nearby him.
Oh.
And so therefore right. using them obviously as a human shield in order to protect himself. And at least on this occasion, it may well have saved his life. It may well have done so. But we can be sure that at some point in the future, if he is on the radar, that he will ultimately be found. So these were really the main events of yesterday that took place in the hours of 10 past 2 to 20 past 2 yesterday morning. There were other attacks that took place during the course of the day, but by comparison to that strike, that critical strike that happened in the early hours of the morning, the rest of the day's activities were really much, much less significant. We are being told that part of the purpose of this operation was to somehow prevent Hamas from rehabilitating its fuller military scale operations, and obviously to block any future Hamas plan to penetrate Israel, which we understand was in the offing. We also saw during the course of yesterday, Colonel Avichai Adrahi, who's become very, very famous in the Arab world as the IDF Arabic spokesman and the person who sends out all of the evacuation messages to people in Gaza. And indeed, he was also very, very active in Lebanon as well, speaking in Arabic and sending instructions to the civilians about evacuating certain areas. So he was active yesterday, asking people to move away from the border with Israel further towards west of Gaza in order to avoid civilian casualties. So even though there may well have been some civilian casualties during the early hours of the morning, those would have all been linked to military commanders of Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad. Nobody who was a woman or a child or a so-called innocent civilian would have been targeted without there being good reason why they might have been killed, not targeted, but killed as what they like to call in war collateral damage, which means they were in close proximity to some of these military commanders. And I think that in war, one has to understand that the military commanders are targeted people. And if you want to move around in their proximity, then you run the risk of running into being a casualty as a result of them being targeted. So let's put it all into the right perspective. Avichai has now spoken and he's asked the civilians to move away from the zone that the IDF intends to be active in over the next few days. And as many Arabs around the world, Arabic-speaking people, particularly in Gaza and in Lebanon and further away, know, when Avichai speaks, then people have to listen. And so he has, again, been very active yesterday in getting people to move away from the troubled zones.
Anthony, that said, there's two things that seems to me to be a little different this time around. Number one is that Israel, we've seen this type of intelligence with Hezbollah and within Lebanon, but we haven't seen this type of intelligence or Israel acting on this level of intelligence in Gaza. This seems to be a shift in a positive direction for Israel in that sense. And the second one is the point that you're making, that they didn't warn people, they didn't drop leaflets and say evacuate like they used to do right at the beginning. They did what needed to be done in order to take out this Hamas leadership.
Well, perhaps the two points are linked together, Howard, because once you have intelligence, very, very good intelligence about where military commanders are based and where they might be hit, then you can't warn people around them because obviously you're going to lose your target. So once you have good information about the proximity of somebody who is very much in the crosshairs, somebody who's very much on the list of targets, then they're going to be hit. And whatever the consequences are, the consequences are, I mean, I agree with you that the IDF has in the past operated on the basis of not carrying out attacks for fear of civilian casualties. And for example, in previous operations, we know that even though pilots were sent out to attack certain installations, and then the Palestinians decided to put civilians on the roofs of these buildings and wave at the pilots so that they could see that they are civilians and that they would be killed if those pilots dropped their bombs. And many times the pilots refrained from dropping the bombs. They took the final decision in the air not to drop the bomb for fear of civilian casualties. On this occasion, the decision was taken that even if there are civilian casualties, some of those targets were significant enough and important enough to go ahead because it might be a one-time opportunity. And those easy opportunities don't necessarily present themselves. Now people know that we are back to war again, that the military operation is continuing. We understand that those who have survived the initial strike are underground and are protecting themselves and are surrounding themselves with hostages and doing whatever it is that they need to do in order to try to save their lives. But there was a certain element of surprise in that attack that took place for those 10 minutes yesterday morning that will be very, very difficult to replicate going forward.
The Houthis have fired a ballistic missile towards Israel from Yemen last night. What impact did it have, if any?
Well, it was interesting that the Houthi spokesman said that they fired a hypersonic ballistic missile towards Nevatim Air Base in Israel and that it hit its target. That was the announcement by the Houthi spokesman. The reality is that the missile that was fired by the Houthis was not hypersonic, although it was a ballistic missile. And by ballistic, we mean that it could go outside of the Earth's atmosphere and then re-enter on its way to its target. So it allows it to effectively go through the atmosphere in order to reach where it needs to reach quickly and accurately. This missile, as I said, was not hypersonic, which means that it didn't break the speed barrier sorry, the sound barrier, even though they claimed that it didn't. There are missiles today which do break the sound barrier and are hypersonic. This was not one of them, even though they were claimed. And of course, most importantly, the claim that it hit its target was inaccurate because on this occasion, Israel did manage to intercept the missile before it entered Israeli airspace. There were sirens that were sounded in some parts of Israel yesterday because of the fear that shrapnel might land in those areas. There were no reports of any damage or any injuries as a result of shrapnel or anything else. And we understand that the missile was successfully intercepted before it managed to make its way into Israeli airspace. I've not seen any reports about Israeli retaliation for this missile being fired towards Israel, but certainly the attacks that have been carried out by the US against the Houthis in Yemen continued yesterday, even after the firing of that missile. But it's interesting that despite the fact that the US had been carrying out significant attacks against targets in Yemen, they still somehow managed to get this ballistic missile off and on the road.
Absolutely, absolutely incredible. We don't have a lot of time for the story, but it's just absolutely incredible. Google parent company Alphabet has bought an Israeli company for a record $32 billion US dollars. What's the details of this deal?
So the company that was acquired by Alphabet is a company called Wiz. Wiz is a cybersecurity startup, or not such a startup anymore. Maybe it's already a scale-up company if it's being bought for $32 billion. Not only is that a record for any Israeli company exit in the history of Israel, in other words, companies that have either listed themselves on stock exchanges or having been bought out by the companies, there's no Israeli company that has managed to exit for $32 billion US dollars. And there's no cybersecurity company in the world that has been sold for that sum of money. So it's a record on a number of different fronts, which is a very, very fascinating record and one which I think will be very difficult to emulate in the future. But we understand that Alphabet plans to build an entire AI division of cybersecurity, including cybersecurity, around Wiz, that they will integrate a number of other companies that they've bought in the past in a division that they have within Alphabet that will then be concentrated within Wiz, and that Wiz will be the driving force for a very, very new direction that Alphabet are going in towards artificial intelligence and cybersecurity. So well done to founders of Wiz, to the employees of Wiz. They have done an incredible job, $32 billion US dollars. Who would imagine?
Just incredible. Just absolutely amazing. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. You can catch Anthony tomorrow morning at 7:45 for the Israel Report.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. If you have dreamed of owning a property in Israel, close to the sea or close to the center of Tel Aviv, now is your chance to make it a reality. The Blue Agency is happy to announce that they are in South Africa to discuss new property opportunities in Israel. For a private meeting with Barry Cohen to discuss your Israeli property or any Israeli property needs, WhatsApp him on 076-577-2000. That's 076-577-2000. The Blue Agency, your Israeli property is in good hands.